And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Reading with your kids.
Hola, ni hao, konnichiwa, assalamu alaikum, shalom, mahaba, moni moli wanji, namaste, jambo, bienvenidos. Hi, my name is Jedley, and this is the Reading with Your Kids podcast. We are coming to you from the beautiful neighborhood of Reedville in the southwest corner of Boston, Massachusetts. We are so honored and so very happy that you are joining us in our mission to help families grow closer through reading. Please be sure to subscribe to the show on the iHeartRadio app, on Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, wherever you find your podcasts. Our guest today is Laurie Walmark. She is here to celebrate her beautiful picture book, Dino Pajama Party. Hey, Laurie, how are you?
I'm great. I am so happy to be back here talking to your listeners.
We're excited to have you back. So Laurie's been on the show. She is a celebrated author who's written numerous nonfiction books, introducing us to amazing women who've throughout history have done great things in science, technology. But this, we're talking about dinosaurs in pajamas. Why this shift?
I actually started writing fiction before I started writing nonfiction. I wrote two novels, one of which sold, and then the company went out of business, so that didn't work. And then I took a course on writing picture books, and I was hooked. I love writing picture books. So I wrote a lot of fiction picture books, but I love math. My first love is math, in addition to reading and reading. And so I wanted to write something that had math in it, and I couldn't figure out anything. And an editor suggested, why don't you write a biography of a mathematician? And it was like, ding, 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 ding. So what a great idea. You know, so as you said, I have at this point 5 picture book biographies out of women in STEM. I have 3 more coming out. But I thought I'd try getting back to my fiction roots. And this was one of them.
Awesome. Well, tell us about the book.
Okay, so Dino Pajama Party is actually really what the title says. You have a group of dinos all in their pajamas, having a party, and they're singing, and they're dancing, and they're having a great deal of fun, but they get tired, just like little kids get tired. They get tired, their feet get sore, and so slowly they trudge back to their little dino beds and holding their, sometimes dino stuffed toys, sometimes other stuffed toys. And they go to bed.
Neat, 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 neat. Now, are these the big giant T-Rex dinosaurs, the little velociraptors, or just a variety?
All sorts of dinosaurs. You have some of them who are flying. You've got the big ones stomping. You've got the little ones when it's time to sing. They're singing a little more softly, but the big ones, of course, their booming voices are coming out.
So neat. That's, I'm as you're telling me about the book, I am just imagining my kids when they were 3 and 5, 6 years old, that this would be a great book for us to just act out as we're reading it.
Absolutely. And the illustrator, Michael Robertson, did such a great job because he has these big, bold colors. And so you have dinos in different kinds of pajamas. Different kinds of dinos. Yet dinos wearing bunny slippers. I mean, what's funnier than this big dinosaur with little bunny slippers on his, I don't even know what you'd call them, not hooves, not thief, I
thief,
guess.
Thief, yeah. I love that. These picture books can be so much fun because, like I said, you can do more with them than just read.
Exactly. And this is obviously for a younger age range than I'm used to writing for, because most of my books are for elementary school kids and older. So this is for preschoolers and early elementary. And you're right, they can have fun. When the dinos are dancing, they can dance. When the dinos are playing musical instruments, they can be holding their hands up and pretend to be playing the trumpet. You know, so you really can act out the book. And with any luck, then when the dinos go to sleep, you know, the child lies down and goes to sleep. That seems like a big wish, but you never know. It might work.
Now, did your agent or publishers, did anybody express concern about you taking this route? Was there any talk about, Laurie, you're so respected as a STEM author. We can't have you write about dinosaurs and dancing. People won't take you seriously.
They didn't. I did.
Ah.
And my concern became, you know, how do you brand myself?
Mm-hmm.
How, until then, my website said, Laurie Wallmark. Woman in STEM, you know, hashtag woman in STEM. You know, that was the first page of my website. Well, clearly, you know, going from dead woman to dead reptiles needed some thought. So I took a course on, you know, branding and marketing, a workshop on it. Mm-hmm. And I knew the people giving the course, so I had given them a heads up that I was going to be asking this. So when the time came for questions, I asked the question, and they said, well, we talked about it, and your brand is children's book author. I was like, oh, okay, that's what my website now says, Laurie Wallmark, award-winning children's book author. So the problem actually didn't come from other people, it came from me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess it's not too surprising. You know, when we're successful doing one thing, we work hard to gain that success. And sometimes it can take a lot of courage to step outside that comfort zone.
Well, I just wrote an essay, and one of the things it says is, are you in a groove or in a rut?
Mm.
And I love my dead woman, though actually one of my books coming out still is a woman in STEM, but she's not dead. She's alive.
Awesome.
Right? So first off, you know, right there, I've stepped a little out of my, you know, comfort area of mm-hmm. doing things. And I think it is important for us to spread our writing wings, to try other things. When I was in grad school, you had to write in different areas. Mm-hmm. You know, you had to read in different areas. You know, even if you knew you wanted to be a young adult author, you were encouraged to write a picture book, say, just, you know, to feel it out. Maybe that's what you need to be doing. Probably not, but it helps.
Mm-hmm.
And different types of writing exercise different writing muscles. This one is written in rhyme, for example. None of my other books are written in rhyme, though two of them do have a poem in the front end of them. So now this is in rhyme. That's a new writing exercise I'm using. Muscle, not mm-hmm. exercise.
And, you know, I think it's a great idea for anybody to go out and to challenge themselves, do different things. I know one of the things that we've talked about here on the show is that there's a lot of parents are really driven to get their kids to specialize in something at a really, really young age. So, you know, you see these kids who are 6 or 7 years old and they've already been playing hockey or soccer exclusively since they were 2 or 3. And, you know, yeah, you might get to be a great 7 or 8 or 9 year old hockey player or soccer player, but are you still going to have a passion for it?
In the NHL.
Yeah, yeah. And they're probably not going to get to the NHL. And there's a really good chance that they're going to end up hating the sport when their teenagers are in high school.
Okay, so here's my message for those parents.
Okay.
When I was a kid, I was a math science kid who loved to read. You know, math and science all the way, but I loved to read. I wrote a few poems, wrote a few songs. That was it. We didn't have creative writing in school. I didn't do it on my own. I wasn't one of these kids who was writing stories, keeping a diary that could have been turned in, none of that. And about maybe 20 years ago, I had an idea for that first middle grade novel. Took courses, read books about doing it, wrote the book, didn't sell. But at least I tried.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here was something that never in my wildest imaginations would I have thought that at this point in my life, my full-time job is being a children's book author, because I was a science math kid who loved to read.
Yeah.
So you do change,
mm-hmm.
and that's important to keep your mind open to different opportunities and different possibilities,
yeah.
and especially for kids, because they may like hockey, but it may turn out that they like figure skating better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Laura, you mentioned that you wrote an article. I think you said the title was, Are You in a Groove or in a Rut? That's a really...
I don't think that was the article, but go on with your question.
Well, that's an important thing for us to think about. How can we tell?
I think it's very difficult to tell from the inside, because it's very comfortable being in that groove. You know, when I'm writing a picture book biography, I know what I have to do. I know how to do the research. It's maybe slightly different from book to book. There may be a different archive or talking to a different person, but basically, I know what to do. I know how to do the research, how to outline it. I know how the book should go. I know what sort of back matter should go in it. So it's very comfortable. You're used to doing it. And you like it. So why would you even think of changing something that you like doing? And that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That you become stale, I guess, is maybe the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe as time goes on, I certainly hope this hasn't happened to me in my writing, but if you continue to do the exact same type, it's going to sound repetitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I haven't really answered you, because I'm not sure it's that easy to tell,
mm-hmm.
from the inside, because it's nice and comfy there in your groove.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose some ruts are comfortable, too. We just don't know that we're in the rut.
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you think...
Know, when you're in a bad,
mm-hmm.
you know, path, you just sort of keep going along and digging yourself in deeper and deeper.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that's something that a friend or a partner can help us determine?
Or a critique partner.
Or a critique partner, yeah.
Right. I think for writers, it's very important to be in critique groups, or at least have beta readers. And these are the people who may be able to look at your work and say, you know, this sounds exactly like the one you just wrote. You could just change the name and it could be the same book.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of a way to tell. You know, if you're writing fiction and it's always sort of that same sort of fiction, it does become repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
So it does help to have an outside eye looking at your work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And someone who not only is not afraid to tell you that you've become in a rut, but will notice it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that you're willing to listen to.
Well, I think that's the biggest challenge is, are we comfortable enough to hear criticism and to accept it, think about it, and then perhaps act on it?
I used to have these sort of funny rules about accepting criticism. You know, you get a critique of your work, and the first thing you'd think is, what does that person know? She doesn't know anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then a few days would go by, and then you'd think, well, maybe she does know something, but I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Then a few more days go by, and then it's like, oh, I figured it out. You know, and to this day, not as much, but it still sort of goes through my mind. You know, it's like, what do they know?
Yeah.
They don't know. You know, if they're saying something that I think I don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
But usually they do know something. Usually they're saying something. And if you really look deep into your heart, you realize it was a problem in the manuscript that you didn't address. And that person called you out on it. But it is hard.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started accepting criticism, and I used to be an assistant regional manager, assistant regional associate, whatever it's called, RA, ARA of New Jersey SCBWI.
Mm-hmm.
And people would get critiques and they'd come out in tears, and I'd have to, part of my job was talking them down that, you know, it's okay. But the longer you write and the more often you get critiques from people, the better you get at being able to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And either take what the people are saying or not.
Mm-hmm.
I always say, just smile and nod while you're there. Right? Don't argue while you're there. Get the information. Think about it for a while. You know, get past that first initial, what do they know?
Yeah.
To this day, I still occasionally have a, what do they know? You know, this is ridiculous what they're saying. And invariably, those are the ones that a few days later I realize, yeah, they know a lot.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of like what we say here on the podcast. If you're reading a book with your kid and the kid is 5 or 6 or 7 and you ask the kid, well, what do you think is going to happen next? So what did you think about the book? And you're asking your kid for their opinion. Their answer is always going to be right. You don't have to like it, but you ask for their opinion, so you have to accept it. Same thing as a writer. When you're asking someone to critique your work and give you their opinion, you might not like it, but it doesn't help to argue about it at all.
Right. And in a critique group, you might have, say, 5 people in your critique group, and 2 people will say to do it this way, and the other 2 will say to do it another way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the process, is taking in their information, their reasoning, and deciding which you think is more true to you and to your work.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And which will make a better story, so that when parents ask their kids, well, what do you think will happen next? The kid will be interested in thinking what happens next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe not getting the right answer, because there is no right answer to mm-hmm. that question. It's mm-hmm. what do you think?
What do you think? Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I have to ask you, what do you think after having this, you know, kind of detour in your career into the Dino Pajama Party? I know you're going to be writing more about women in STEM, but are we going to be seeing more playful Dino Pajama Party type books coming from Laurie Wallmark?
That I don't know. I do have another fiction picture book coming out. It's historical fiction, takes place in 1918, which those of you who are studying current history may know that that's when the flu, the 1918 flu came out, takes place on the Lower East Side. So it's not a funny book. Mm-hmm. It's more a heartwarming, you know, sort of book when you reach the end and mm-hmm. you know, this is what happened. So it's, again, it's just very different than Dino Pajama Party.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to say never, but I don't tend to be a lighthearted writer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other fiction books I have in the works are not as lighthearted as Dino Pajama Party, but, you know, not as heavy
mm-hmm.
as, you know, a book that takes place in 1918 during, you know, the Great Flu. Sort of in the between. I think those are my two endpoints, and most of my fiction is going to be in between. Uh-huh. And then I'm working on a novel in verse because, again, you need to do other things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really enjoying working on that. It is about a woman in STEM, so it's not that far away. But, you know, I've got, 120, 130 so far poems about a woman in STEM made into, you know, put in an order that makes a story.
Awesome. Well, we're really excited to know more about that. We're also really excited to check out Dino Pajama Party. Laurie, where can people go to find out more about you and more about your new book?
Okay, so I am one of the lucky people that my name is both unique enough, Laurie Walmark, and short enough. It's less than 15 letters. So no matter where you look, there I am. But the best place to find out about my books, where I've my blog tours, giving talks to classes, giving talks to adults, is my website, which is just lauriewalmark.com. And Laurie is spelled LaurieWallmark, lauriewalmark.com. You know, so there you can find out a little bit more about all my books. You can find teacher guides if you're a teacher or a parent,
mm-hmm.
you know, activity guides. There's a really cute activity guide for Dino Pajama Party. I was just going to show it because we're on Zoom, but you're not going to see it through a podcast. But what one of the activities, and I did not make up the activity guide. Someone else did. You attach a pencil to the double-sided picture of dinos, and then you can make the dinos dance.
Oh.
So you can go around making dinos dance.
Awesome. Awesome.
You know, the coloring pages. There's something that I think is just really adorable. It's a door hanger that you can put on your door, and one side says, I should know this, I can't remember, something like, you know, come on in, we're having a dino pajama party. And the other side says, you know, shh, the dinos are sleeping. Or that's not what they say, but mm-hmm. it's something to that effect. And a kid can just hang that on his or her door. And it's a little message to mom and dad to, you know, come on in, we're having a good time. Or, hey, you know, I need my alone time yeah. right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all those sort of things, plus activities for teachers, you can find on lauriewalmark.com.
Awesome. Well, we've had a great time speaking with the author of Dino Pajama Party, brand new picture book from our friend Laurie Walmark. Hey, Laurie, thanks so much for being back with us.
Oh, I am so glad that I was able to, you know, get together with you again. I always enjoy talking with you, even though in the past it has been about my dead woman in STEM. So it's nice to, you know, have a different approach on things. But the next book is back to dead woman again.
Please be sure to join us for the next episode of the Reading With Your Kids podcast. Our guest will be Julie Hedlund. She'll be here to celebrate over there, under where? That's the next episode of the podcast. Hey, if you're the author of a fantastic children's book, we would love to help you tell the world all about it. There's so many ways that we can help you. You can be a guest on the podcast. You can submit your book to our Certified Great Read program. And you can take advantage of our incredible promotion program. All you need to do to find out more is to go to our website, readingwithyourkids.com, click on the Authors Click Here button, and scroll on down to the service that you're interested in. Right now, we'd like to thank the folks who made today's show so wonderful. Of course, I want to start by thanking our guest, Lori Walmart. Be sure to check out Dino Pajama Party. Also want to thank my team, Alejandro Daugherty, Fatima Khan, Michael Murphy, Rory Grady. I want to thank my beautiful wife for all the support she gives me. Most of all, we all want to thank you. Why? Because you joined us today. And mostly because you are making the world a better place each and every time you read with your kids. I'll be looking for you in the next edition of the Reading With Your Kids podcast.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
It's time to get down to business with $30 a month business internet. WOW Business offers 99.9% network reliability so that you can keep your business moving. $30 a month gets you 30 megabytes per second with 24/7 US-based support, a price lock guarantee, and a 60-day satisfaction guarantee. Lock in our lowest priced offer for the support you need. Go to switchtowowbusiness.com. Offer for new customers with a 2-year agreement subject to change. Prices do not include taxes, fees, and equipment charges. Restrictions apply.